Today, I want to introduce to you another aspect of the kingdom that Jesus Christ himself inaugurates. And so I call it the supernatural nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You have heard me in the few weeks that I was sharing with you that the church of the post-Pentecost was going to be so different. The people that Jesus Christ is making, the body, his body, the believers, those who are spirit filled right now, those who are going to represent the church, so they will be different. And we have seen how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were devoted to one another. They were sharing everything together. And also we have seen that even their church was fully in obedience. If when things happen, things which were bad and were to undermine the true nature of the people Jesus is making, so he will give his people wisdom how to deal with these things. We have seen that in chapter 5, how I told you the many days that Ananias and Sapphira, these difficult words. And those, so these people were trying to lie in that body, and then they were brought to nothing. They died. And so they couldn't stand in the company of the new emerging people of God, where the truth is reigning, where Christ is exalted, where his spirit resides so powerfully upon his people, fulfilling all the promises of God. God bringing glory to his name, exalting his son Jesus Christ, declaring through the life of his people that this is the final work of God. This, the age of redemption has arrived. All that the Old Testament believers were looking to is now being enjoyed by the new emerging people. And we are no different because we are like them exactly. It is by grace all have sinned. If you can come tonight, you will hear from Romans 3 that all have sinned. So and fall short of God's glory, and so and the salvation is only to come through Jesus, and it is by grace and grace alone. So we are no different from these people. So we can also know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We can know his love and his mercy. We can know his holiness, and so we have seen that in chapter 6, the 7 were raised, I said, and the reason was to avoid distractions and also racism. I said racism in the English speaking world, and then in the Africa we call it tribalism. And so his people will be free of all these things because they will be obedient to the God of heaven and the earth, and Jesus, who said his body will be made up of many tribes, from every tribe and tongue. The people who would not look alike, they will be exactly his body, of which he is the head. And so it's something really paralyzing. It's something that's not like the world. You see, so the body of Christ is, and it's to this day, a lot of people are struggling with this concept. And I pray that you don't struggle with this concept. That is my praise. And today, what I want to share with you is why opposition to the gospel. Because this type of life, this message of salvation, this message that the apostles are going to share, the expansion of the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be met with opposition, fierce opposition. And that, and so you may ask me, and so how is that going to help us? Well, I don't know whether you have never experienced any opposition in your life as a Christian who is desiring that this is saved and that the drug addict be really delivered from their addictions, and those who are really crushed by the enemy should come and know the love of God. You see, if you have that attitude, the enemy will oppose you. Am I right? I just don't want to preach to you. I just want to have a dialogue with you. I want to interact with you. Is that true? Yeah, that is what we feel. Even you as a preacher also, you will be opposed. You as a youth leader, you will be opposed because you want these youth to know Jesus Christ and to know him. The enemy will hate this. And certainly what I'm going to share briefly with you today is there is this opposition that is emerging. So because the message of the kingdom is spread through persecutions and suffering. And so you are not surprised when you face all these things. If you face these things, you should rejoice. You know that you are on the right track, isn't it? I think many Christians have said that. It's not me. I'm not inventing the wheel, isn't it? They say, oh, if things are going like that, then maybe you are doing the right thing. But sometimes also we do the wrong things and God also punishes us. That has to be fair. But we have to discern if we are really stepping out of his will and of his ways. And so also he will just bring us. But what we are encountering here in this word today is the fact that if you see verse 7, so the word of God, because the disciples have put everything right, they raise up the servants, deacons, we call them deacons, but the servants, they were raised up. They were men full of what? Full of faith, full of the spirit, of the spirit and wisdom. And so people recognize that because they did that right. And the disciples, the 12, really devoted themselves to prayer and the study of the word. The church is spread. The word of God is spread. The word of God is spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of even the most fiercest opponents of the gospel came to faith. This is what we read. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And that stirred up the enemy. That stirred up the enemy. And so what happened? So as a result of this life, the spirit-filled life that is rooted in the word, grounded in the word of God, the truth of God, the opposition to the word of God arose. And then the person who was to bear the hostility, to stand in the front, the person who is going to face this opposition was Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament history. Stephen, a deacon, but a man that is described here. He was one of the seven. He was full of the spirit and wisdom. You should read in 6:3, because it's good that we know where it's coming from in the word of God. If we ever say we have a high view of the word of God. Because the Bible says, brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. And we will delegate this responsibility to them. So Stephen was a man full of spirit and wisdom. And also Stephen was described as full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. 6 verse 5. Chapter 6 verse 5. So when that proposal was right, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So this man, he got all these qualities on his side. And also, even in the text we have today, because I'm going to preach from 8 to 15. Because I looked at those first verses a few weeks ago. In this text, Stephen is reintroduced again. As a man full of God's grace and power. Full of God's grace and power. A grace that he has received from God. That God was going to be with him all the time. He has received this free audience, gifts of audience with God. And also he will be gracious with others. And other theologians, they call this is witness, the grace and power. That this man is going to enjoy now, and also he is going to handle himself also in this manner. That is what we read in verse 8, verse A. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders. Because you know, when the Holy Spirit came, the disciples, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went about doing wonders. Mighty work they perform these mighty works. So Stephen was in that rank as well. He was a preacher. He was also a deacon. So being a deacon doesn't mean that you cannot lead someone to Christ, that you cannot expand the truth of God. The Bible is in our homes, and we can, if we have a life of surrender, obedience, we read the word and we pray and we have great desires for God to use us, He will use us. So being a deacon didn't mean that Stephen was not a preacher. And Philip also being a deacon, it doesn't mean that he will not be an evangelist. Michael is persuading me that before I travel during my holiday, that I should speak to you about Philip. That was what he wants me to do. By God's grace, I would want to just do that. So Philip and Stephen, they are men of God, filled with the Holy Spirit and truth. And so a man filled with the Spirit, wisdom, faith, grace, and power, what does that say to the people? Or what does that really reveal to the people to he was speaking to, or to whom he was speaking? That was, in my opinion, was really an impression that God gave him everything. Really, to present that he was truly a man from God. Grace means free, undeserved favor with God, that Stephen should have access to that. And grace seemed to mean gracious work of Christ in his life, and Christ-like character that Stephen was really revealing to the people. And power was an evident that the mighty work of God will be performed through him. Because if we read in 2:22, we read that the disciples themselves, they were men who were performing this miracle. 2:22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miraculous wonders and signs which God did among you through him. Jesus performed miracles, and now his disciples are going also to do the same thing, working miracles. Well, now Stephen is presented to us that he is ready for the job that he was going to do. Now we move to see what is the opposition was trying to achieve. The synagogue's members who were objecting to the message Stephen was proclaiming. That is what we read here. Oppositions arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, men who were slaves and were freed. And these men, they were members of different synagogues. They met with different communities, but actually they were coming, now they make one synagogue, because they were coming, Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia. And Paul actually said that he was coming from Cilicia, and then also they thought Stephen must have been also a member with Paul, because Paul actually, he was leading the people, really was pleased to see Stephen persecuted. And the people who were stoning him, they will leave their clothes with him. So these men were against. They began to argue with him. This is what we read in verse 9. They began to argue with Stephen. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. They couldn't. And this is only in fulfilling the words of Jesus himself. Jesus is behind his people. He says to them in Luke 21, I'm going to quote verse 15, but let us read from verse 14. But before all this, verse 14, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Stephen was moving in the words of his master. And his master is fulfilling this. As these people were arguing with him, and I will bring to you in a moment why their argument was very real devastating. Why the charges that they will bring on Stephen were very bad. So, but here for now is Stephen. He was speaking through the wisdom and the grace that his master has promised. He says that I will give you a tongue. No one will be able to refute or even to contradict. For I will be with you. I will give you this wisdom. And his wisdom from God. Is God speaking through his servants. And so what is saying to us? So if we are in his will, if we are filled with his spirit and wisdom, and so we don't need to say anything that we work hard to bring as a counter argument to those who are standing against us. Or those who are standing against the message. Because here what is at the stake is the message of God. Is the word of God. And but God and Jesus here has promised that he will help his people. When they could not stand up against his wisdom, they resorted to lies. The truth can only be opposed by a lie. You cannot contradict a truth with truth or by truth. Only a lie. And this is what these people are trying to do here. When they couldn't. So what did they do? For they accuse him. This is what they say. These men began to argue with Stephen. But when they could not do this, they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. Well, this is a very nasty accusation. If you can be accused of this as a Christian or as a God-fearing person, can really be devastating. Because what these people are bringing against Stephen is very serious. These charges are very serious. Because nothing was more holy and sacred to the Jews and more precious than their temple and their law. They were very precious. And today, in our day as well, the scriptures is still the word of God to us. And when we don't handle it with care, and when we believe lies and things that are not true, it's not right before God. And so these people, they were really angry. But the thing, they were just lying. The temple was the holy place, the sanctuary of God. They were meeting with God. And the sanctuary of God's presence. And the law is the holy, inspired scripture. Where they learn about God and his will for them as his people. And so now they just resort to just bring these two things. So that they can get their opponent. Because they couldn't get anything really with him. His wisdom was so powerful. And for someone to speak against them was to face troubles. But they were wrong. And Stephen was not doing anything new. He was repeating what he has heard from his master, for which he was accused. Also, Jesus himself, he was accused because Jesus taught that the temple and the law will be superseded. Not because they were not useful, but the fulfillment has come. Jesus Christ himself is coming to fulfill. You heard him say that, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Now you will know God intimately. Now you will know his presence with you. Permanently. His Holy Spirit will come and live in you, and his word will be written on your hearts. And so Stephen is not just inventing the wheels. He was just faithfully proclaiming the gospel. What Jesus Christ himself, his Lord, has taught his disciples. And this is what Jesus, our Lord, has taught us. I will give us some implications in a moment, or what we call applications. The law and the temple were pointing to Christ himself. Jesus says that. He said he will destroy this temple. in 3 days he will raise it. He is talking about his resurrection. He is talking about this temple, his body. Because now the church is going also to be the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to live in the church, in his people. The law will be written in the hearts of his body. So that the Jesus now replaces the temple himself. And his people also, they will replace the temple. That is why the church is a meeting of people of God. Wherever it might be. Some people meet under trees. In an open field. Wherever you meet is the church of God. The wandering church of Jesus Christ is going to scatter now. We will see that. So Jesus himself taught this. And Stephen was presenting the truth to the people. And we will see in his defense of the preaching that he has been proclaiming, the word he has been proclaiming. Because so far we are not given what he was saying, because he was preaching. They heard him preaching. And actually in chapter 7, when he will be brought before the Sanhedrin, he will be preaching the same message. We will have a clue what he has said that angered these people. But let us not run ahead. You see, I'm just introducing Stephen and why he was opposed. And what measures these people have just resorted to. So this is what happened. So they said, we have heard him. He speaks words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And to speak any words against him, that is blasphemy. These people, they know that they have been called to be God's people. They love their God. And for someone to blaspheme, that is from the community. And to spread lies, if these were lies. You see? Like that is what they said, isn't it? And then we read also that in Proverbs 6. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified. This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. So that was what they were trying to say. But as I said, Jesus of Nazareth, when he died under this title of Jesus of Nazareth. He died under that title, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And his resurrection was to bring salvation to his people. The power will be released to save people. So here we see that after they have accused him falsely, and so all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. So this is my last point. Jesus confirmed the message of Stephen by giving him the light, the evidence that he is not on the wrong side. And so they could see his face shining like the face of an angel. Something Moses enjoyed himself when he was bringing from Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments. His face was shining and the people were running away because of the radiance of God in the face of Moses. That is exactly what these people were seeing in Stephen. The man they accused falsely that he is tempering with the word of God. But he is in fact upholding the word of God. And he is calling the people of Israel into repentance. To repentance and to acceptance of Jesus Christ. Confirming that Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. And he died as a Messiah. And he is calling you all to believe in him. If you are ever going to be the people of God. That is what Stephen is doing here. So his face was shining. And the people could see this. A man full of grace, spirit, truth and power. Everything from God. And these people have no doubts, but they were going against the evidence. Let me move quickly to my application. I just want to finish here. Well, people always, we resort to theological debates. Theological debates that will not help. When Stephen himself, who was a man who was just bringing the word of God to us, and we are learning now also that it's through the persecution that the message is going, the message of Christ is going to be fulfilled. He said that you wait here until you are clothed with power and you will be my witnesses, where in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the end of the earth. And now this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the emergence of the church by the death of Stephen. So what is the message for us? When we are opposed, we should not shrink back, because this might be the very opportunity that God is providing for us to move into another dimension of expanding his kingdom. Because his kingdom will expand always through the suffering of his people as they hold fast to the truth, as they exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation, as the only Son of God, the servant of God who came into this world, Jesus of Nazareth, who destroyed his body and raised his body on the third day, that you and I might live and know the power of his resurrection and the forgiveness of God and to be made into God's people. So we will always face opposition if we are like Stephen. And my encouragement to you this morning is that don't turn back. Don't shrink in the face of opposition. Press on. Press on, that you might know the power of God. And God will convince your opponents that you are not a man in the darkness, on the side of the false and lies. You are a man who is upholding the truth of God. And God will prove to these people, whether by the shining of your face or by the joy of your Holy Spirit, or by the generosity and the graciousness that we will see in Stephen. I just don't want to go ahead. When is, you know, you read your Bible. When he was being stoned, again his face was shining. And he was not holding anything against these people. Full of grace. Knowing that God, through this method, even though marked with suffering, is what to bring salvation to these people. And this was going really to affect Apostle Paul to the depths of his heart. This is what will be before him to the rest of his ministry. So a suffering, your suffering might be a blessing to another person. As you hold fast, they see you humbled, patient, gracious. They will say, this man truly, like what they said about Jesus, he's the Son of God, truly the Son of God, isn't it? Because God revealed that to them, the darkness in the middle of the day when Jesus was being crucified, and the light shone after that. A new dawn. So let us not shrink back in the face of opposition. Let us face it with humility, not holding things even against the people who are accusing us falsely, because they accused this man falsely. But this man was affirming the truth of God. So there is a desperate cry for us to hold fast to the truth that is handed to us in the Word of God. A desperate cry that we, our practices are in alignment with the Word of God. We may fail, but we are to earn our decadence and confess this. When we rise, we will not be in the same level. We will be rising up to strength. Spiritually, we will be rising up to be true people, humble, change. And made stronger for the advancements of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Even our problems, even whether we lack anything, let us pray. If we don't have anything as a congregation, let us pray. The Bible says that if anyone is in trouble, let them pray. Isn't it? If we need anything, every good and perfect gifts come from God. Oh, the Bible teaches us in James that we are not receiving anything because we don't pray. Isn't it? The Word of God teaches us that actually every time I'm ashamed, when things are bad, I'm ashamed because I'm not just really believing the Word of God. I'm not saying that you should have mansions and everything. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you should be at rest Even if you have just a small cottage like that, full of spirit, spirit grace, that is what we need. Full of spirit, faith, grace, and truth and wisdom, isn't it? That is all that we need. And all other things shall be added unto us. Stephen, this man, man of God, was accused falsely because people resorted to biblical, I mean to theological debates. They couldn't do that. They slander, so again they resorted to that. And then finally, violence. Three things. Theological debates, slander, lies, and then violence. These are three things you need to watch, to look out for in your opponents. This is what they will always do. That we are to stand our grounds. Our ground. And so this morning, are you struggling? Are you thinking that people are against you or someone have hurt you? Well, learn from Stephen himself. And the opposition of the people didn't separate him from God. In fact, his face was shining. As these people were looking intently at him, they saw that his face, they saw that for themselves. They saw that for themselves. An evidence for themselves that his face was of an angel's. Was like the face of an angel. So it's great to be a Christian, but also will be marked with suffering, opposition, but it's great to walk with Christ. For that is what really the Old Testament people were longing for. Let us pray together.